Imagine you're overseeing like a $50 million software migration.
Oh man, a complete nightmare scenario right out of the gate.
Right. Your lead developer just put in their 2 weeks' notice, completely out of the blue.
Of course they did.
And the client unexpectedly slashes your budget by, I don't know, 20%. And the launch date is exactly 3 weeks away.
Yeah, that's when the real panic sets in.
Exactly. So, do you know the exact mathematical formula to calculate if you could even still hit that deadline? Or, better yet, do you know the precise communication framework to tell the board of directors without causing a mass panic?
That is the million-dollar question, or I guess the $50 million question.
Yeah, exactly. And today we're looking at the three letters that basically say you do know how to handle that, PMP.
Right, because that scenario you just described, it's a scenario that plays out in boardrooms and, Slack channels every single day.
Oh, absolutely.
The stakes are massive, the margins for error are just razor thin, and the expectation is that the person at the helm knows exactly how to navigate the chaos.
And for you, the listener, who's probably trying to navigate this fiercely competitive job market right now, understanding the actual value of professional credentials is, well, it's basically a survival skill at this point.
It really is.
But don't worry, we aren't going to bore you with the basic 101 definitions of like what a project is. You already know what a project manager does.
Right. We're assuming you know the basics.
Our mission on this deep dive is to cut through all the corporate noise. We're using a really comprehensive July 2026 guide published by the PMP Academy.
Yeah. The one titled, "Is PMP Certification Worth It? A Guide for Beginners 2026."
That's the one. We are going to figure out if the project management professional certification is, genuinely worth the time, the money, and the immense sweat equity,
Yeah.
especially in an era defined by just rapid technological change.
And that 2026 context is really the entire ball game here.
How so?
While we are evaluating a legacy credential in an environment where artificial intelligence is fundamentally rewiring how work gets done.
Right, like every single day there's a new AI tool.
Exactly. So, does a traditional certification actually hold up when the ground beneath the workplace is shifting this quickly?
Okay, let's unpack this before we get into the whole threat of artificial intelligence or, the actual return on investment. We need to understand the mechanism of this credential today.
Makes sense. Where do we start?
Well, I look at the target audience. The PMP Academy guide highlights specifically IT professionals and software engineers.
Ah, yeah, the highly technical folks.
Right. Their whole job is technical perfection. It seems completely counterintuitive that a brilliant coder would pause their technical development to learn management frameworks. Like, why would they risk dulling their technical edge?
Because technical skills are, they're no longer enough to prevent a project from collapsing.
Wait, really? Even if you're the best coder in the world?
Even then. The guide highlights that in 2026, technology initiatives are not happening in isolation anymore.
Give me an example.
Think about a massive cybersecurity overhaul for a multinational bank. An IT professional might understand the encryption algorithms perfectly.
Right, they know the code inside and out.
But if the client suddenly demands three new security features halfway through the building in it, what we usually call scope creep, and that engineer doesn't have a formal framework for negotiating that change.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, if they don't know how to adjust the budget or communicate the timeline delay to the stakeholders, the project just bleeds money.
So the PMP bridges that critical gap.
Exactly. It bridges the gap between building the product and managing the business reality around the product.
So it's kind of like an orchestra conductor.
I like that analogy.
Yeah, like the conductor doesn't need to know how to play the cello better than the first chair cellist, right?
Definitely not.
But they absolutely must know exactly when the cello needs to fade out so the brass section can take over. Because without the conductor, you just have a room full of incredibly talented technical people making a chaotic noise.
What's fascinating here is how the PMP essentially provides the sheet music for that conductor.
I love that.
It standardizes the chaos. And this is particularly crucial for engineers who are transitioning into senior leadership.
Because early on, their success is totally different.
Completely different. Early in an engineer's career, success is binary. Does the bridge hold weight? Does the code compile? Yes or no?
But as they move into management,
The deliverables become highly abstract. Suddenly, they are coordinating human resources, handling volatile client expectations, mitigating unseen risks.
which is terrifying if you're used to just dealing with logic and code.
Exactly. The guide points out that the PMP provides a structured leadership framework, allowing a highly logical, technical mind to systematically manage unpredictable human and financial variables.
Now, that makes total sense for someone making a drastic career pivot, like an engineer stepping into management. But the guide also calls out project coordinators.
Right, the folks already in the trenches.
Yeah, the people who are already in the project management ecosystem, doing the scheduling, taking the meeting minutes. For them, it feels less like a pivot and more like a, I don't know, a mandatory toll booth on the career highway.
A toll booth is one way to look at it, but for a project coordinator, it is the actual mechanism that transitions them from a supporting character to the lead protagonist.
Well, that's a good way to put it.
If you are already doing the administrative heavy lifting, the PMP provides the theoretical backing to finally own the strategic decisions.
So you're no longer just the note taker.
Exactly. It proves to a hiring manager that you don't just know how to update a spreadsheet, but you actually understand the underlying methodology of why those numbers matter.
And how to manipulate them to save a failing project.
Spot on.
Let's follow that thread directly to the return on investment. Because if you're going to dedicate months of your life to passing this exam, the payoff needs to be tangible.
People definitely want to know they're getting their money's worth.
Right. And I want to play devil's advocate for a second.
Go for it.
When I look at the job market, companies use these automated applicant tracking systems, right? To scan resumes for keywords before a human ever even sees them.
Yeah, the dreaded ATS.
So is the PMP actually teaching you to be a more effective leader? Or is it just a really expensive shiny badge you buy to trick an HR algorithm into giving you an interview?
Well, it functions as both. And we kind of have to be honest about the realities of hiring right now.
Okay, lay it on me.
For a single senior project manager role, a company might receive, I don't know, 500 applications.
Wow. Yeah, that's overwhelming.
The PMP is absolutely a filter for that. Many Fortune 500 companies list it as a preferred qualification, and highly regulated industries, they often make it a hard legal requirement.
So it literally gets you past the robot.
It absolutely acts as a key to bypass the algorithm. However, the badge only gets you the interview. It doesn't pass the interview for you.
Wait, let me make sure I'm understanding the mechanism of that interview process.
Yeah.
Are we saying a company will pass over a brilliant, battle-tested project manager who delivered millions in value just because they don't have this PMI certification?
In favor of a mediocre one who does.
Yeah. Does that really happen?
In the initial screening? Sometimes, yes.
That is wild.
That is just the harsh reality of corporate filtering. But once you are sitting across from the hiring manager, the preparation process for the PMP really proves its worth.
How so? Give me an example of how that plays out in the room.
Let's say the interviewer asks, tell me about a time a critical vendor went bankrupt in the middle of your project.
A total disaster scenario.
Right. An uncertified manager might give a rambling, you know, anecdotal story about how they panicked, but eventually figured it out through sheer willpower.
Which sounds good, but maybe a bit chaotic.
Exactly. But a PMP-certified candidate has a structured framework internalized. They will answer by discussing how they utilized a risk register, categorized the risk, triggered a predefined contingency plan,
and utilized a management reserve budget.
Yes. They speak the formal language of risk mitigation. And that structured response is what actually secures the job.
That makes a lot of sense. Speaking of jobs, we keep throwing around titles from the source material like PMO manager or portfolio manager when discussing the career growth this certification unlocks.
Yeah, those are the heavy hitters.
Let's make sure we're visualizing this correctly for the listener. A standard project manager is responsible for delivering like one specific product, right?
Correct.
So what exactly is a PMO manager doing?
Think of a PMO or project management office manager as the air traffic controller for a company's entire fleet of projects.
Oh, okay. So they aren't flying the planes.
Nope. They aren't flying the individual planes. They are establishing the safety protocols, the communication standards, and the software tools that every single pilot must use.
Ensuring the entire organization is using the same playbook.
Exactly.
And then what about a portfolio manager?
A portfolio manager sits even higher up the chain. They act almost like an investment banker for the CEO's strategic vision.
Okay, so they're completely removed from the day-to-day.
Completely. They don't manage the day-to-day tasks at all. Instead, they look at all the proposed projects and decide which ones align with the company's 5-year goals.
Ah, so they're picking the winners and losers.
Yeah, they manage the company's resources like a stock portfolio. They kill projects that aren't yielding ROI and funnel money into those that are.
And the PMP is necessary for that.
The PMP is the foundational credential required to even enter those rooms.
Wow. And that shared corporate language you mentioned earlier is really what gives this credential its global weight. The guide heavily emphasizes international recognition.
It's a huge selling point.
Like a risk register in Singapore functions identically to a risk register in Germany or the United States,
And
right?
exactly the same.
So you are essentially cashing in on a universally recognized process, which gives you massive geographical mobility.
It's a passport for your career.
But let's look at the financial leverage, because people hear salary bump and their eyes just glaze over with dollar signs.
Oh, I know. The expectations around immediate wealth can become wildly detached from reality.
Yeah, and the guide offers a massive reality check here. It explicitly warns that a PMP cannot guarantee a job.
No credential can.
Right. And it will not automatically increase your salary overnight just because you updated your LinkedIn title to include three letters.
Unfortunately, no.
It's a professional tool. And just like a scalpel, its value depends entirely on the skill of the surgeon holding it.
That's beautifully put. Employers do not pay premiums for acronyms. They pay for predictable results.
Predictability is key.
Always. Companies place a premium on project managers because projects are the primary vehicle for business growth.
If a new product launch fails, the company loses capital, market share, reputation, all of it.
And if it succeeds, they generate revenue. So the salary leverage you gain with a PMP isn't a participation trophy for passing a difficult test.
It's not just a gold star.
No, it is compensation for your proven ability to reliably deliver that growth while mitigating catastrophic financial risks.
Okay, but if the ROI is this lucrative, if it unlocks portfolio manager roles and global mobility, why isn't every ambitious mid-level professional armed with one of these?
Well, the barriers to entry are high.
Yeah, the guide outlined some massive hurdles, like the catch to all of these benefits.
The hurdles are intentionally steep to protect the prestige of the credential. And this brings us to the experience paradox.
The experience paradox. Explain that.
So, a lot of entry-level professionals think they can just graduate college, study for the PMP, and instantly become a highly paid manager.
Makes logical sense, right? Go to school, take the test, get the job.
But the governing body, PMI, requires you to document thousands of hours of actual project leadership experience before you are even allowed to sit for the exam.
Getting a PMP without actual project experience is like getting a driver's license, but never actually driving a car. It
Yeah.
doesn't make you an F1 racer.
Exactly. It's like reading every book ever written on military strategy, memorizing all the troop formations, but having never actually led a squad under fire.
You might know the theory perfectly, but the moment a real crisis hits, theoretical knowledge evaporates.
That is the essence of the paradox. Real-world experience teaches you the messy, illogical realities of human dynamics.
Like people lying about their timelines.
Exactly. It teaches you how to navigate a stakeholder who lies about their department's needs to protect their budget, or how to motivate a development team that has been working 80-hour weeks and is just totally burnt out.
A textbook cannot teach you emotional resilience.
Never. Experience shows an employer what you have survived. The PMP just validates that you now understand the formal best practices behind what you survived.
So the highest paid candidates possess both the battle scars and the formal framework.
Always.
So who should explicitly wait? The guide lists specific groups who should hold off on pursuing this.
Well, first, if you do not meet the strict eligibility requirements for documented leadership hours, you must wait.
Don't try to fake it on the application.
Do not try to fudge the number. Audits are common and they are rigorous.
Good to know. Who else?
Second, if you are searching for a magic bullet to bypass gaining actual entry-level experience, this is the wrong path. Employers hire track records, not just potential.
And the third group.
Finally, if you cannot commit the required time, do not start. It's a massive undertaking.
When we talk about time, the guide estimates 2 to 4 months of rigorous study. Let's dig into the how of that studying.
Okay, let's get into it.
Because a lot of our listeners are incredibly smart. They're used to cramming for a weekend, memorizing a bunch of flashcards, and passing a test. Why doesn't that work here?
Because the exam is not a vocabulary test. It is a situational judgment test.
So no defining terms.
Right. You aren't asked to define a stakeholder matrix. You are given a complex, high-pressure scenario.
Give me an example of a test question, like roughly.
Sure. It might be something like, Your project sponsor abruptly cuts your funding by 15% midway through the execution phase, and simultaneously, your lead system architect threatens to quit because of the stress. According to PMI guidelines, what is your first immediate action?
Oh, wow. That is stressful just hearing it.
And here's the trick. All four multiple choice answers will sound like logical, good ideas to a layman.
Like have a meeting or buy the architect a coffee.
Exactly. But only one strictly follows the formal procedural framework. You have to train your brain to stop reacting intuitively and start reacting systematically.
Plus, there is a massive financial and ongoing time commitment. You are paying for training boot camps, study materials, and the exam fee itself, which runs into the hundreds of dollars.
It is definitely an investment.
And once you pass, you aren't even finished. You're required to maintain the certification through continuous professional development credits every 3 years.
Yeah, the PDUs.
It's a career-long subscription to learning, not a one-and-done college final.
It forces you to stay current. The profession evolves, and your credential mandates that you evolve with it.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting for me.
All right, I'm ready.
We are talking about hundreds of hours of intense studying, significant financial cost, and ongoing maintenance. And we are evaluating this through the lens of 2026.
Right, the AI factor.
Yes. If I have an AI tool right now that can instantly automate my predictive schedules, crunch millions of data points to identify budget risks in 3 seconds, and generate perfectly formatted status reports for my stakeholders while I'm sleeping.
It's amazing what the tech can do now.
It really is.
Yeah.
So aren't we just paying for an outdated piece of paper? Do the frameworks in this guide actually hold up against artificial intelligence?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we hit on the single most vital distinction in the entire 2026 guide.
Okay, what is it?
Yes, artificial intelligence is radically automating the mechanics of project management. AI is phenomenal at processing historical data.
It's better than us at math, obviously.
It handles the predictive scheduling, the mathematical risk analysis, and the documentation infinitely better than a human ever could.
So if a project manager's only value was updating a Gantt chart?
They are already obsolete. Done.
So what mechanism of project management is actually left for the human?
Building trust and navigating nuance.
Ah.
The guide makes a powerful case here. An algorithm cannot sit down with a burned-out, cynical engineering team and motivate them to push through a brutal final sprint.
True. AI doesn't have empathy.
Exactly. AI cannot look an angry client in the eye, decode their unstated political motivations, and negotiate a compromise that saves the contract.
Right, because so much of that is nonverbal or just ego-driven.
Imagine a toxic conflict between your two best developers over the system architecture. AI can analyze their code to see who's right technically, but it cannot resolve their ego dispute.
So the technical mathematical tasks are being stripped away, leaving the project manager to handle purely complex human elements.
Human judgment, emotional intelligence, and leadership are completely irreplaceable by current technology.
Wow.
As AI absorbs the administrative burden, the true value of a project manager shifts almost entirely towards soft skills and strategic alignment.
And the test reflects this now.
Yes, the modern PMP curriculum heavily tests a candidate's ability to manage those human elements and lead through influence rather than just authority.
And it isn't just AI changing the landscape either. The guide heavily emphasizes agile methodologies.
Oh, yes. That's a huge shift.
For a long time, there was this narrative in the tech world that traditional project management, where you plan everything perfectly up front, was basically dead because technology moves too fast.
Right. The assumption was that agile, which is highly iterative and flexible, had completely killed traditional predictive project management.
Let's define the mechanism there just briefly.
Sure. A predictive approach is sequential. If you are building a physical skyscraper, you absolutely must finish the foundation before you build the roof. You cannot pivot halfway through.
Obviously not.
Agile is designed for software where you can build a basic app, release it to users, gather feedback, and completely change the next feature every 2 weeks.
But the reality is that most modern companies don't operate in a pure vacuum of one or the other, do they?
Precisely. They operate in a hybrid environment.
Like a mix of both.
Yeah. Imagine a company manufacturing a new smart electric vehicle. The physical car chassis and the battery supply chain require rigid, predictive project management.
Because you can't iterate a supply chain overnight.
Exactly. But the software running on the car's dashboard, that requires agile management to constantly update features and fix bugs over the air.
So you have two totally different workflows happening at once.
The modern PMP teaches you how to blend these approaches. It teaches you how to run a hybrid project, where the hardware team and the software team are using completely different frameworks, but still moving toward the exact same launch date.
So what does this all mean? We have looked at the target audience, the reality of the ROI, the steep barriers to entry, and how the credential survives the automation of AI.
It's a lot to process.
It is. But distilling the core message from the PMP Academy's 2026 guide, the PMP certification is an amplifier.
An amplifier. I like that.
Right. It does not substitute for hard work. It cannot replace emotional intelligence. And it is entirely useless without real-world battle-tested experience.
Completely useless without the scars.
But for the professional who has put in the hours, who understands the chaos of a failing project, and wants to validate their expertise with a globally recognized framework, well, it remains one of the sharpest, most lucrative tools you can acquire for long-term career growth.
It basically transitions a professional from someone who merely reacts to project fires into someone who systematically prevents them from igniting in the first place.
Which brings the deep dive right back to you, the listener. It is time to audit your own daily reality.
Take a hard look at your day-to-day.
Are you the person at your company who is informally keeping cross-functional teams on track without the official title? Are you an engineer realizing that the bottleneck in your career isn't your coding ability, but your capacity to manage client expectations?
If that sounds like you, and you have the experience, the guide suggests this credential is the mechanism to formally claim your value.
It is about moving from a technical contributor to a strategic conductor.
Which raises an important, lingering question about the trajectory of our entire corporate landscape.
Ooh, what's that?
As artificial intelligence continues to aggressively absorb the technical, mathematical, and administrative mechanics of project management, like the budgeting, the timeline optimization, the resource allocation, what is actually left,
right?
Will the highly paid project managers of the future need to act less like engineers and more like organizational psychologists?
That is wild to think about.
If the software flawlessly executes the math, will the core of a PMP certification in the 2030s essentially become a masterclass in human empathy and behavioral economics?
That is a staggering thought to leave on. If the algorithms are managing the project, the human has to manage the psychology of the people building it.
Exactly.
Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the real-world value of the PMP. We hope we have helped you decode whether this universal corporate translation device is the right move for your professional future. Keep questioning the consensus, keep adapting to the technology, and we'll see you next time.